Test Vav Av Tu Be'Av. Simen Kuf Tzadik Dal Dalacha Aleph. And we're going all the way to Halacha Yud Beis. Learning the laws of Goises. Goises means according to what the Kitzur Shalach explains is when a person is basically the death is imminent. In fact, the Lashon of Goises means that a person at this point is a Lashon of Ga of Megis. Megis Bikdera means person is stirring. Usually when we speak about stirring the pot. So here it's referring to the fact that when a person's about to die, so he's malalecha, which means that he's bringing up a certain phlegm in his throat due to tightness of the chest. What's fascinating is that in the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the main Talmud, the doctor of Avram, so he writes that today Goises is based on what the doctors say. And he says that in fact today we don't have a clear, we don't have anything specific. So there's nothing, it's not just because suddenly a person is having phlegm come up in his throat. It's what the doctors say, that this person is going to, because as death is imminent, so he's about to die, he could die any second. That has the status of Geisus and has tremendous applications. So the first most important thing is that he's considered fully alive. And therefore, a person has to be so careful. Person not allowed to touch a person that's a Goises, because if a person touches him, he's considered trefer, then he's considered someone that's spilling blood. It's similar, the Kitzur says, to a ner metaftif, which means that the candle is dripping. It's a flickering, metaftif means it's a flickering candle. And when a person touches a flickering candle, so then a person's going to end up immediately extinguishing it. So that's why a person has to be so careful. And that's why he can't do any movement or push or anything like that. To the degree that even though, as the Kitzur says, Goises could take a long time and there's tremendous pain for the relatives, nevertheless, they're not allowed to cause the death to come even a second earlier. And the examples that they give is taking away the pillow. Interesting that one of the reasons why would someone pull away the pillow is because they think that the feathers from some birds cause the neshama not to leave so quickly. Very interesting concept. Or they take keys from a shul to put underneath his head. So not clear what how these things cause a soul to leave earlier, but it doesn't make a difference. The point is one's not allowed to do this. And the only thing that one's allowed to do is if there's an external cause. For example, there's a banging that's taking place somewhere, meaning not directly attached to the chayla, to the goises, when one's allowed to stop that banging. So that's an unusual, let's call it a totally indirect cause that's keeping the soul alive, and therefore something like that one's allowed to do. All the major shilas today when it comes to removing feeding tubes and referring to any of the disconnecting something that's keeping the person alive, of course you would have to ask a shila. And there's varying levels of what one's allowed to do, one's not allowed to do. So this definitely is literally pikuach nefeshah, someone should ask a shila. When it comes to this knocking, that one's allowed to do, one's allowed to stop. Why is that? Because all you're doing is you're removing the meineh, which means you're removing that which is holding back the neshama from leaving. Now, even though a person allowed to touch a goises, if there's a fire, we don't leave a person that's a goises in the house. We take him out, and he comes before any sifrei kodesh, because like we said, he's fully alive, and every single second is called chayisha. 1 second, precious moment that a person's alive, is more than everything else in the world, like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says. Someone that's standing by a goises has to be careful that his limbs don't go outside of the bed. It's actually based on the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu, v'yesev ragla lamita. Therefore, they should put chairs next to the bed that he won't be able to put out his feet or his hands. Nevertheless, if they didn't do so, once none and his leg or arms come out of the bed, then you're not allowed to return those limbs, because again, that could cause him to die quicker. When a person is close to dying, a person should not leave that person. The reason is because when a soul leaves by itself, meaning the body by itself and is alone, it causes this, the soul is what's called mishtememes. It's in turmoil at that time when it leaves the body, and therefore it's a mitzvah to stay there, mitzvah to stand by a person who is neshama. It's called itzias neshama, and it's based on the pasuk v'chir danetzel leira shachas ki yirech hachom yamusa. So the point is, according to this pasuk, Chazal teaching us that you should, if a person's by someone who's about to die and the soul is about to leave him, there's a mitzvah to stay there, and it's even proper to have 10 men be there for the Yetzias Neshama. Which is very interesting, this concept. The one said used to be that this was like the ultimate special opportunity to be 10 people by the Yetzias Neshama. And in any case, the Kitzur says definitely that these 10 people should not be Isaac and Vom B'Telem. They should learn, they should say Tehillim, they should say other Mizmorim, as mentioned in this special Sefer called Ma'avalia book. I don't have the Sefer, I'd love to get it. It sounds like a great Sefer. And the custom is also to light candles in front of the Goyses, maybe related to us, Nel Nishmas Adam, that the candle is like the soul, or the soul is like a candle. After Yetzias Neshama, they place a feather. Today we have different ways of assessing that a person is dead, but this is that the person that is officially not in this world anymore, the soul has left. But they used to put a feather, a light feather by the nose, and if it doesn't move, you knew that the person is already considered dead. And then you open up the windows, and the Avelim, at this point, say Tziduk Adin, and when they get to the words Baruch Dynamis, which is a bracha, they say it with Shema Malchus, and they tear like a person's properly supposed to tear. For example, if a parent's on the left side, other people, other relatives on the right side. All this, the custom is today to do by the Leviah. But really, halachically, it's 100% okay to do it at this moment, because this is really the time where a person is most feels that emotion. And therefore, this is actually the proper things to do. Anyone that's standing by the mace at the time in the Yetzias Neshama has to quit to tear, even if they're not related. And it's likened to a sefer Torah. This is a beautiful mashal that a soul leaving the body is like a sefer Torah that's being burnt, because ein reik v'isash en v'tir mitzvahs, because every single Jew has Torah and mitzvahs. My Chazal say, I feel reik and shaboy, I'm malay mitzvahs, given the filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate. Now, even a katan, even a child that learned just psukim, a woman, one who's standing there has to tear again, even if they're not related. This is something that people don't do today anymore. Though Moshe said, once you're doing it, at least, as we'll see in a second, if they're not relatives, you don't have to tear regularly by the top of the shirt. You could do it on the bottom. Now, even if the person who was just nifter did a various letiyavon, which is because of he had a desire, one is obligated to tear, unless he's someone that did an avera and he was rugged to do averas, even if it was done for desires. So that's really considered someone that's not part of the tzibul. Therefore, you don't have to tear for him. And as I said, this kriya, one can do that. The person is doing b'shas tzias neshama. You could do like a small tear. It could be even at the end of your garment. So that's why a doctor, technically speaking, he's there many times. He could do a small little tear, and he could even do re-tear on the same garment. That would be an eitzah for a doctor, which again, I don't know if doctors do today. When it comes to, I'm assuming usually doctors don't do this, but that would be actually something proper to do. When it comes to someone that dies, there's an Indian, a very interesting concept of shunning the eyes of the disease. And someone has children, it should be the son that does it. As we know, where do we learn this from? Yosef Yoshis Yadoi Al Einecha. Big things about closing a person who died, his eyes. When a person is being taken, meaning they take a person, the mace, the person that was nifter, from his bed to place him on the ground. That's actually one of the things to do. They should make sure that he's covered. Why? And it's news that the person was noig when he was alive, was noig when he's dead also. There's a custom to pour out the water in the entire neighborhood where a person died. This is such an interesting concept. One of the simple explanations is, could be it sounds more Kabbalistic, but the simple explanation is it's just a way of people knowing, oh, why are you pouring out water? Because someone just sniffed on instead of saying it, because Moitzi Dibo Ksil, we said that's better for a person not to relate bad news. Now, exactly who's included and what's included in a neighborhood, if it's three houses, like the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, it's a different discussion. And this is true, even if the person that died is within 30 days, which usually we say is not considered, there's no din of avelos, but in regard to pouring out the water, that is the custom. Shabbos, we don't pour out the water, perhaps maybe because we don't relate the message at all when it comes to avelos on Shabbos. Someone that's guarding the mace is called a shema. Today we have a shema. Just usually one of the main reasons was with rodents that were going to come and disrespect the person that was nifter. Today there's no rodents usually. Nevertheless, there is still an inan to be mishamel, but there's more leniency. And Moshe says you could leave for a little bit just to go and daven. But in any case, even if it's a person that's not related and they're guarding the mace, as their oisik mitzvah and part of from kriyat shema and tefillah and all the mitzvahs are mentioned in the third. Why? Because oisik mitzvah part of the mitzvah. If there's two people, one guards on the other person davens. You're not allowed to eat in the room that a mace is there, unless there's a partition. Even just a snack, and even just fruits or drinking water is forbidden. And this is something that people for some reason don't know. And you can't make a bracha there either. Have a beautiful day.